Those are good choruses. Please, for the Lord to come meet with us, His Spirit to sweep over our soul. Hallelujah means praise you, the Lord. Turn with me now, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and let's read the first four verses here. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. This is a very precious story and moment in the scripture. This is a very precious moment. I've always loved envisioning this whole scene, just thinking about the whole scene that happened here. Our Lord, when he finished his Sermon on the Mount, he finished delivering his message. He came down from the mountain, and it says great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes of people. He was in this crowd of a great multitude. But this account is concerning one man. One man. That's what I love about when you think of this incident. This is an incident of a great, huge crowd of people. But when you read this, it's one-on-one. It's just two people, one-on-one, one at a time. That's how God deals with each one of his people. He deals with them one at a time, one at a time. Even in his dealings from the cross, and I truly love the thought of this, even in his dealings from the cross, even though he was dealing with a number that no man could number, as our Lord hung on the cross, he hung there in the shame and the sin of his individual people. All of the sin was laid on him. He bore all of this sin, but it was not just a concoction of everybody's sin. It wasn't just a pool of sin. It was my sin. He dealt with God. He said, for Gabe Stoniker, why have you forsaken me? Like we read about this morning, last week, Lord, Lord. He said, why have you forsaken me? And you think about what he said, I'm going to say to many in that day. That's what he should have said to me. And for Gabe Stoniker, he cried, why have you forsaken me? And then, go down the list, for each one of his people, individually, he cried, why have you forsaken me? The substitution of each one of his people, even though it was a number no man could number, it was still one-on-one. That's amazing. That is amazing. One at a time. That's how he deals with his people. That's what this account shows us, our Lord's intimate, individual dealings with each one of his people. That's what makes this just so precious to me. The Lord, there came a point in time when the Lord dealt with me. There came a point in my life where the Lord got a hold of me and awoke me. And I stopped just going through the world And he said to my soul, I am. He didn't speak out loud, and I didn't have a big, you know, people talk about. I'm telling you, though, he got a hold of me. And he said, I am. That's how I need the Lord to deal with me. This is how I need the Lord to deal with me. In my flesh, I'm no different than this leper. The way that he dealt with this leper. And if we know anything about leprosy, the disease of leprosy, many people now don't. We only know of it because we hear the stories from the scripture. But oh, what a horrible disease. What a rotting, decaying disease. But the same way the Lord dealt with this leper, that's how I need for him to deal with me, because I'm in the same boat with this leper. In my flesh, I'm in the same boat. Verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leper. That's a wonderful line. And behold, there came a man who was infected with a horrible disease. A decaying, flesh-rotting disease. One that made him to be an outcast. It was a disease that caused him to know what he was. And when the Lord reveals sin to a person, people think they know what sin is. Well, I know the Ten Commandments. And, you know, you're not supposed to murder and you're not supposed to. Oh, when God reveals sin, when the Lord shows one of his own his leprosy, when God reveals sin, this man knew what he was. This man knew what. There's so many people who don't know what they are before God. This man knew what he was. This was a disease that caused everybody else to know what he was. This couldn't be hid. This could not be hid. And that's what God's people say before God. What I am can't be hid. This just can't be hid. Now, along with bearing this horrible disease, we have to acknowledge the fact that this man was a sinner. He was a sinner. We know that he was a sinner, number one, because he was born in Adam. By one man, sin entered the world, Adam in the Garden of Eden. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we know he was a sinner, number one, because he was a son of Adam. Number two, we know he was a sinner because he bore this horrible disease. Where there is no sin, there is spotless perfection. There is no sickness. There are no sniffles. No aches, no pains, no coughs. None of that. None of that. Where there is no sin, there's no death. None whatsoever. Nothing that can bring death. Where sin does not exist, nothing that can bring death exists. Hebrews 7 says, to be separate from sin is to be undefiled. Undefiled. So we know this man was a sinner because he was a son of Adam like the rest of us. We know he was a sinner because he bore in his flesh a loathsome disease. And we know he was a sinner because of what he was doing right here. What he was doing right here, even in what seemed to be good, okay? This seems to be good. Even in what seemed to be good, this man was still breaking the law. Don't turn, but back in Numbers 5, Leviticus 13, places like that, it tells us that all lepers had to be put out of the camp, away from the people. They were not allowed to be in the presence of those who didn't have leprosy. By law, they were not allowed. They had to steer clear of people. They had to go to the other side of the road. If they passed someone, they had to get out of the way, and they had to cry out to them, unclean, unclean, by law. By law, they had to cry, don't come near me, I'm unclean. So just in the fact that this leper came into the multitude, and he walked right up to the Lord Jesus Christ. In him just doing that, he was a sinner against God. He was a law-breaking sinner against God. But here's the glorious thing that we can see in this. Here's the glorious thing. In Christ, there is no condemnation from the law. None. That's wonderful, isn't it? In Christ, who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died. And therefore, in Christ, this sinful, dying, rotting leper was allowed to walk right up to him with boldness so that he could obtain mercy and find grace to help in his time of need. That man needed mercy and grace in his time of need. And this is how he came. Verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. And that's what we've done tonight. That's what we're doing tonight. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We've gathered around his table, if the Lord tarries, in about 10 or 15 minutes, or however long it is, we're going to observe the Lord's table. We are doing this. We are gathering around his table to worship him. To worship him for who he is and what he's done for us. Mark's account says that this leper came and kneeled. This says that, behold, a leper came. Mark's account takes it a little bit farther, says that he came and kneeled. And he did. He came. And then he kneeled. And Luke's account says he fell all the way down on his face, begging and beseeching him. Saying, verse 2 says, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord. Oh, how important that word is. Oh, how important that word is. People know who Jesus is. I love the name Jesus. Sweetest name I know. But people know who Jesus is. But one day, the Lord is revealed to them. They say, Lord. Oh, Lord. Sinners call him Lord who have him revealed to them. Lord, Master, Sovereign. That's what he was saying. He came and bowed, fell flat on his face and cried, Sovereign. He went on to say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if you will, you can. That's how we ought to approach him on everything, whatever the situation may be, from our salvation to every little detail in our life. If you will, you can. This is in your hands. This is in your ability to do it. I'm just at your mercy. I'm at your mercy. This is my request, but Lord, I acknowledge this is not in my will. This is by your will. This is all according to your will. That right there was all according to his will. That was all at his will. However it's going to go, Lord, you decide. This is your will. And that's what we very, very humbly say to him concerning our salvation. It is not our will. It's thine be done. It's thine be done. This is going to go according to the will and the purpose of your heart in the matter. Whatever you will, that's what's going to happen. But Lord, if you will, you can. That's our acknowledgement to him in the salvation of our soul, the eternal salvation. Lord, if you will, you can. If you have purpose to save me, I'm going to be saved. And the most glorious thing about this story right here, this is the amazement of it. The most glorious thing about the story of this leper and the most glorious thing about the story of our own salvation is he said, I will, be thou clean. I will. I will. What he was saying was, you being clean, you being made whole, is the very will of my heart. That's the very will and desire of my heart for you. In John 17, he said, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's my will. In John 10, he said, I will lay down my life of myself. No man will take it from me. I will willingly lay it down for my people. And what our Lord did for this leper, this is what he did for all of his people on the cross of Calvary. Verse 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He touched him. He touched him. He put forth his hand. How close did this leper come up to him? So close that all he had to do was put forth his hand and touch him. He touched him, a leper. Somebody will say, why did he do that? He didn't have to do that. You know, one man said, speak the word only and it'll be done. And that's so. But somebody says, why did he reach out and touch him? He didn't have to do that. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. In order for that leper to be clean. In order for this leper to be clean. Our Lord willingly had to touch the infirmities of his people. He had to. Lepers had to be separated from everybody. The reason they had to be separated is because it was so contagious. Whoever touched a leper got the leprosy. That's the reason. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, our great high priest, Christ Jesus our Lord, willingly touched the feeling of our infirmities. He willingly touched them, took them, bore in his own body on the tree everything that we were in order to save us from our miserable end. I've told you this story. It's such an amazing story, but a missionary from the early 1900s, Paris Reedhead, he was a missionary to Africa. He told of a time that he was in the jungle with some native men, Ethiopia, that's where he was specifically, but he was walking through the jungle with some native men, and they heard a faint voice crying, somebody help me. And I can't imagine how weak that voice was and desperate that voice was. Somebody help me. And these men followed the voice until they came up on this man laying there in the jungle in the absolute last stages of leprosy. Just the final. He went into the detail of describing the rot, describing the flesh that was there, the flesh that was not there, the utter destruction and decay and end of this man. Just a horrible sight. Those men immediately knew there's nothing we can do for this man. And he's just laying there in all of his utter destruction and decay, crying, somebody help me. Oh, he said, my heart went out to that man. And he said, as I looked at him and stood there feeling so helpless, the thought went through my mind that if somehow I could pick this man up, this rotting, falling apart man up, and press him to my body and put his skull of a face on my face, and if I could take into my flesh all of his disease and all of his rot and all of his suffering that he's enduring, and if I could impart into that man all of my life and all of my health, I would have some understanding of what my Lord Jesus Christ did for me when he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. That poor, miserable leper fell down and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you will, you can help me. Somebody help me. Please help me. If you will, you can make me clean. Verse 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Mark's account says, as soon as he spoke the word, this says immediately. Mark's account says, as soon as he spoke the word, his leprosy was departed. Our Lord cried from the cross, it is finished. And as soon as he spoke the word, it was done. It was done. Verse 4 says, and Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Our Lord touched this leper. He spoke peace to this leper. And then he set that no longer a leper, but he set that man free. Verse 4, he said, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. He touched him, he spoke peace to him, and he set him free. And that's what Christ did for us on the cross. He touched us. That's what he did on the cross. He touched us. And he spoke peace to us. It is finished. And then he set us free. Legally, rightly, even according to the law. The same law. The same law that said you cannot come into the presence. When Christ finished his work for his sinful people, he said, you go to that same law and show that law what I've done for you. And the same law, after seeing the finished work of Christ, said, clean, spotless, whole, welcome. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In closing, let me show you what that offering was. All right. He said, you go to the priest and you give this offering. I believe this will be a real blessing to you. Turn with me to Leviticus 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 14, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Our Lord said, a body hath thou prepared for me, an earthen vessel, clean, pure. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. One will die. His blood be on you. Let the other one fly away. That's what Christ did for us. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he sacrificed himself to set us free. In his blood, he touched us. He spoke peace to us, and he set us free. And that's what we're remembering when we observe this table. That's what we're remembering. We're remembering what he did to touch us, remove everything that was decaying us away from us, and to speak peace to our hearts, saying the judgment is finished, the work is finished, you're clean, and to set us free. This is what it took to set us free. And we're going to remember that in this, and we're going to give him thanks for that. In taking this, we are saying, thank you, Lord, Lamb of God, for doing that for us. All right, Brother Dwight, you come and read for us.